So if last week was about working out our salvation, not just drifting along and so on, what we've got in our passage tonight, and it's a slightly odd passage, isn't it? It seems to be some of those just little personal details that might not immediately kind of set our hearts on fire. What we've got in this is two great examples of people who were working out their salvation. We've got two people who help us see what it looks like to work out their salvation. And what I want to do this evening is three things. Firstly, I want us to walk through the passage and kind of understand what's going on. I want us to see what Paul's actually saying in this to-ing and fro-ing about, I want to send so-and-so, but I'm going to send so-and-so, and so on. So let's just understand what the passage is saying. Then I want to go through it again a second time, but not just kind of beginning to end. I want to go through it teasing out some different points of what faithful service looks like. And then I'm going to finish by seeing how this passage shows us Jesus. Because that's what's most important, isn't it? It might talk about Timothy and Epaphroditus and so on, but actually we know the whole of Scripture is about Jesus. So how does this passage help us to know Jesus more? Well, let's start by just walking through it. What's happening, if you want to follow it, is that Paul is saying that he hopes to send Timothy to the Philippians at verse 19. Do you remember where Timothy was? Where Paul was? He was in prison. We don't know absolutely where, but it was probably in Rome. And he longed to know how the people that he was writing to were doing. So there he is, he's penning this letter to them, but as he does so, his heart is yearning. He's going, I hope they're all right. I hope they're pressing on. I hope they're encouraged. I hope they're united. And all of those sorts of things, he longed to know how they were doing. And so what he wanted to do, he hoped that before too long, he'd be able to send Timothy to them with a view to him encouraging them and checking out how things were, and then, presumably, coming back and reporting to Paul. So verse 19 again, I long to send Timothy so that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. He's saying, I'm going to send Timothy just to come and tell me how you are. He's going to check up and see if you're okay. He also really hoped that he wouldn't just have to rely on the report that he would get from Timothy, but that actually he might be able to come himself at some point, verse 24. But sending Timothy was something that Paul hoped to do in the future. He's hoping that before too long, he could send Timothy. But right now, not waiting until he sent Timothy, but right now, he was sending Epaphroditus. Now, we'll see when we get to chapter 4, which we'll be doing in the beginning of October because of the break we're having over the summer, we'll see that the church in Philippi had taken up a collection for Paul, something that amounted to really quite a significant gift to support Paul's ministry. And that gift had been brought to Paul by Epaphroditus, who he describes in verse 25 as your messenger. So it seems, though, that bringing that gift had proved somewhat dangerous for Epaphroditus. He had been ill, verse 27, and had almost died. And in verse 30, he had risked his life to bring that gift to Paul. And I don't think we know whether that was through illness or violence or whatever. It doesn't really matter. The point is that the Philippians had heard about what a bad way Epaphroditus had been in. They'd sent him off with a gift, and news had somehow reached him. Epaphroditus nearly died. He's in a terrible state. And so they were deeply concerned about him. They were really worried, should we have sent him? Should we have sent someone else? Oh, what have we done to the poor guy? That's what's going through their minds. Now, when Epaphroditus heard that the Philippians were so worried about him, he was, I guess, probably touched by their concern, but actually his biggest feeling was concern for them, about the distress they were in because of him. So verse 26, he was distressed because they had heard that he was ill. So the Philippians were going, oh no, should we have sent Epaphroditus? Poor guy, he's ill. Epaphroditus goes, oh no, the Philippians are all worried about me. Oh, I'm fine. I don't want them to be all stressed about me. I really am okay. And Paul, seeing how distressed Epaphroditus was about how distressed the Philippians were, said, I'm going to have to send Epaphroditus back to Philippi so that they can see that he's okay, so that Epaphroditus could stop worrying about them, and that in turn, at the end of verse 28, would make Paul less anxious. He doesn't have to worry about poor old stressed out Epaphroditus, who's worried about the stressed out Philippians, but who are worried about him having nearly died. So basically, what's going on in this passage is that Paul was planning to send Timothy before too long so that he could hear about how the Philippians were doing. But straight away, he was sending Epaphroditus so that the Philippians could see that he was okay, stop worrying about him, meaning that Epaphroditus could stop worrying about them and Paul could stop worrying about them all. That's basically what's going on. Slightly odd passage, but I think you'll see in a moment it's important that we understand what's actually happening. Let's come now and walk through this passage again, and let's tease out the points of what faithful service, if I can get this to come along, what faithful service really looks like. Because you might be wondering, why have I just spent that time showing you the details of who was worried about who, and so on? You might think it doesn't massively matter. Well, the reason I've spent the time trying to explain and show you all that is because all of that highlights the first point of what faithful service looks like. You see, faithful service comes from genuine love for people. Faithful service comes from genuine love for people. Now, we've got that again and again in this passage. So verse 19, Paul cared about the Philippians and he wanted news of them. He was passionately interested in them and news would cheer him. So Paul cared about the Philippians. In verse 25, the Philippians cared about Paul. They cared about him so much that they sent Epaphroditus to take care of his needs. Verse 26, Epaphroditus longed for the Philippians. And he was distressed, as we've seen, that they were distressed. He really missed them. And it really got to him that they were worried. And then verse 27, Paul loved Epaphroditus deeply. Had Epaphroditus died, it would have brought him, do you see what Paul says? It would have brought him sorrow upon sorrow. Now we, in the course of our lives and our careers and so on, we may have had colleagues who have died. We may have lost people at work and so on. And it is always a sadness that we care. But would we describe it as sorrow upon sorrow? That's the language we use for when a family member, a really close family member, dies, isn't it? It's not just the language you might use of someone who's happened to work with you. Paul uses such strong language, he would be truly devastated had Epaphroditus died. You see, and Paul cared about Epaphroditus such that he was anxious about the distress Epaphroditus was in. Paul's care for Epaphroditus meant it really got to him when he saw the state that Epaphroditus was in. Now you see, Philippians is a letter that runs through with warm love that comes from the gospel. And we need to be clear that genuine love is an essential part of Christian service. I mean, think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that passage that is so often read at weddings and then I think rightly so. But that 1 Corinthians 13 says someone might be hugely gifted by God, someone might be incredibly generous, but, says Paul, if I have not love, I'm nothing. And what Paul did, and what the Philippians did, and what Timothy did, and what Epaphroditus did, all came from love. Now, you need to be praying for me, and you need to be willing to ask me difficult questions about this. Because the thing is, I might well work hard for you. I might work hard in preaching sermons, in preparing them and preaching them. I might work hard in pastoring people, in training people, in comforting people when that's what's needed. I certainly hope I work hard in praying for you and all the other things that go with being a vicar. But the thing is, if I don't love you, it's pointless. And I should pack up and go home. So if you ever were wondering how best you could pray for me, pray for my love for this church. Now, I do love this church, but pray that that won't grow cold over the years. Pray that God would keep refreshing it. And if you ever think that I have stopped loving this church, you need to tell me it's time to move on. And I hope you would. So, look, the first thing is, faithful service comes from genuine love for people. So let me ask you, how much do you love? Look around. Look at the other people in the building. Go on. So you're not just looking at me. Look at the other people in the building. It'd be nice for you to see someone other than me. How much do you love these people? And is there someone that you struggle with? Notice, perhaps, when you walk home or drive home or cycle home or you go home. Notice who you pass when you do that. People you might see in the streets, people you might see in cars, or homes that you know people live in. Do you love them? Do you love and care for them? Do you see, here's our first big application this evening. We need to love one another, and we need to love the people that we want to reach with the gospel. And sometimes that comes very easily. Sometimes it is very hard. But when it's hard, the single biggest thing that we can do is pray for the person that we find it hard to live. Back in Nottingham, we had quite a ministry to homeless people. They knew that they could come to our house and they would get something to eat and drink, and that we might stop and chat to them and hopefully we'd pray with them if we had time and so on. And so it meant, particularly in the winter, we might have four or five people come into the house at different points to say, have you got something to eat? They always managed to time it at the worst possible time and so on, but that was something we did. But there was one particular guy who was really difficult. He was a Glaswegian called Jimmy. When we knew him, he was in his 60s. He had been on the street since he was 16. He was a terrible alcoholic, and he was a rough and sometimes quite violent man. And on one occasion, he forced his way into our house. It wasn't a nice time. We had to dial 999. It was pretty scary. It was not what we wanted. And I thought, I've got to love this guy. And I started praying for him. I started praying for him regularly. And do you know, over the weeks and months, my heart genuinely softened towards this guy. And actually, in a funny sort of way, we became friends. We had conversations on a bench in the churchyard that I thoroughly enjoyed. And it was great, actually, to get to know him and some of his story. If there is someone that you struggle to love, the best thing you can do is start praying for them regularly, and you may well find the Lord changes your heart. But look, what I hope we're seeing here is that it's not enough to serve on rotas in a church. It's not enough to be a member, an active member of a home group. It's not enough to give generously and anything else we might do. If we don't love God's people, then we might as well pack up. Faithful service comes from genuine love for people. That's the first thing we see. Secondly, we need to see that faithful service is about partnership in the work of the gospel. It's about partnership in the work of the gospel. So in verse 22, Timothy served alongside Paul, like a son with his father, a bit like a young man being trained up by his dad, and so on. So Timothy served alongside Paul. Epaphroditus was described as a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. You see, partnership, like love, is another theme that comes up again and again in Philippians. It's there right at the start, where Paul kind of kicks off by saying, I thank my God because of the partnership in the gospel. So faithful service is about working together with others. It is not a solitary lone ranger business. In my last church, there were two very sad instances. They were probably 6 or 7 years apart. They were two totally different people, separated by a long time, but similar stories. And they were people, they were both very gifted people. They were both young men with lots of energy and lots of enthusiasm. And they felt called by God to go and evangelise particular areas of Nottingham. And you might say, great, isn't that good? God laying places on their heart and sending them off to do it. But the thing is, rather than do this work as part of a local church, these guys just struck off on their own. They didn't have people praying for them. They weren't in any sort of accountability. They didn't have support networks. And both of them got into a real mess. One ending up with a significant drugs problem. Another example, I could use it, as many of you will know, I'm quite involved in the work of Africa Inland Mission. And one of the things I hear again and again from missionaries who have been working out in Africa is how their work had been horribly undermined by someone, often young, generally male, and very enthusiastic, had gone out with great plans to do the work, but without really thinking it through, without being well supported and without partnering with the people who were already there doing the work. They came with a great vision, they came with lots of energy, but by being a kind of lone ranger, they ended up undermining the long-term work that was being done. They said some really unhelpful things that caused the well-respected long-term missionaries to lose credibility with the people that they were working with. So it came to great damage to themselves, and it came to damage to the gospel work. Now again, there's a question for all of us here, isn't it? Is our service of the gospel solitary or in partnership? Let me give you just one example. Suppose there is someone who you know in Morton who you would hope will become a Christian, and who you're praying will become a Christian. I hope there is someone like that for you, someone that the Lord has laid on your heart. And if you are doing that, if there is someone that you are wanting to share Christ with, I want to ask you, who is praying for you as you try and do that? And who is encouraging you in that? That's a great thing that home groups can do. It's a great thing to say, I'm seeing my neighbour Bob in 2 weeks' time or something. Could you pray with me that Christ might become part of our conversations and so on? And faithful service is about partnership in the work of the gospel, not about being a lone ranger. Third thing we see about faithful service here is that it involves sacrificially putting others first. So look at verses 20 and 21 in this passage, and Paul talks about how Timothy had a genuine interest in the Philippians' welfare, and Timothy therefore stood out in contrast to everyone else who looked out for their own interests. And actually, look closely at those verses. This is really interesting. Whose interests are the opposite of our own interests in this passage? In verse 20, it's other people. So the opposite of our own interests is the interest of other people. But in verse 21, the opposite of our own interests are the interests of Jesus. To take a genuine interest in someone else's welfare is to look out for Christ's interests. That's big, isn't it? That's big. If we care about someone else, we're caring in the way that Christ does. And that's what we saw, isn't it, the week before last, when Peter Smith preached on the start of chapter 2, where he was talking about modelling Christ's attitude. So Timothy shows us what it is to have a genuine interest in someone else's welfare. But also we see with Paul, he was sacrificially giving away Epaphroditus, wasn't he? It's not easy
to let go of a fellow brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier. Think what a difference having Epaphroditus must have made to Paul there in prison. And yet, faithful service says, Epaphroditus, they need you more than I do. Off you go. We kind of know, don't we, that we're meant to put others first. You know, if you were given a bag of sweets and you were to open it here to try and sustain you through an interminably long sermon, you would know that the thing you're meant to do is offer it to the person next to you. And you would probably do that. I'm going to bring a bag of sweets sometimes and see if that works. And you know that if you get on the bus and there's, you know, there are two of you and there's one seat left, we know that we're meant to say, would you like it, rather than just making a mad dash for it ourselves. We get that. But what about when it's much bigger? What about when it's to do with church life? Do you know, one of the biggest obstacles to church planting and to people being sent off on mission is that the church that should be sending the people to plant or to go on mission has a feeling of, we need those people. We can't spare them. We can't let them go. Let me give you what I hope and pray might one day be a very real situation for us. The church in Stowe, just down the road, is currently in vacancy. There isn't a vicar there. I am praying, and I would ask you to pray, that vacancy is filled with someone who is really eager to preach the gospel, to teach the Bible, to have a kind of sort of biblical ministry that you guys here have got used to all the years of Steve, and I hope and pray that I'm able to continue. Suppose that happens. Suppose there's suddenly someone in Stowe who's going to preach the gospel. Suppose there's something of a reawakening of genuine faith in that church. Don't you think, if that's the case, we should send some of our people to go and join that church? And when you start thinking about who we've got that lives in Stowe, or Walking on the Water, which is, you know, that sort of way, we kind of go, gosh, would we want to give them? Would we want to be without them? But isn't that what this is calling us to do? Wouldn't it be great if we were in a position to make that sort of really costly sacrifice to enable another church to really thrive? That, I think, is what this is getting at. Faithful service means putting the needs of other people first. One more final thing we need to see. Faithful service might mean risking your life. Have a look at verse 30. Epaphroditus risked his life. The word that we've got translated as risking his life, this is the only time it's ever used in the New Testament, and it's a word that comes from the world of gambling. It's a word that talks about carefully considering the odds before placing your bet. Epaphroditus weighed the odds and put his life on the line. Now, for most of us, it probably won't cost us our lives. But when missionaries go to some part of the world, that is exactly the choice they are making. But for most of us, it won't cost our lives, but it will cost us all something. It will certainly cost us time. It will, may well cost us reputation. May well cost us success. Now, it's so easy, isn't it, to give ourselves to gospel service when it's convenient to us, when it fits in with our lives and with our other priorities, when it's a kind of convenient part of our life. But here the question is, what's holding you back from service? Is it something less than your very life? Is it something less than the laying down your life that's holding you back? And I suspect that's what it is for most of us. Then should we be willing to lay it down? So look, we've come to what we've seen is something of what faithful service looks like. It comes from genuine love. It is about partnership. It involves sacrificially putting others first. It may cost us everything. Now, I'm very nearly done. I've only got a minute or two to go. But we haven't come to the main point yet. Because who does this on the screen above me, remind you of? Whose whole life and ministry came from love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who, as a member of the Trinity, is eternally working in partnership with the Father and with the Holy Spirit? And who chose to involve 12 disciples and you and me? And who constantly put others first? Do you remember 2 weeks ago, Philippians 2 verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And who, above all, laid down his life, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus would be horrified if we thought this passage was all about them. Their greatest desire was for Christ to be known, that their lives would point us to him, and that we would see that their ministry came from him. And it's because of him, then, that we are called to follow this example. Let me pray. Lord, help us, firstly, to love, because you have loved us. Help us to partner and work with others, because you have chosen to involve us. Help us to put the needs of others first, giving away sacrificially, so that our attitude might be like that of Christ. And help us to offer our lives as sacrifice, because that, oh, our wonderful Lord Jesus, that is what you did for us. Please, Lord, would we follow the example of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus as their example points us to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name.